This is Agriculture Today.
USDA opening a new sterile fly dispersal facility in Tampico, Mexico. It's a significant step in containing New World screwworm and protecting livestock across rural America. Now, the new site allows aerial release of sterile flies across northeastern Mexico, expands coverage into Nuevo León, and improves the ability to respond quickly if cases do move north. Because screwworm spreads rapidly, can devastate cattle, wildlife, and other livestock, saturating large areas with sterile flies is central to USDA's long-running suppression strategy. Now, the expansion comes as USDA continues to disperse 100 million sterile flies per week in Mexico, but until now, aerial operations have been limited to southern Mexico. But with Tampico now online, APHIS can shift away from slower ground release chambers in the northern regions, deliver more consistent coverage. USDA says the move part of a broader five-part plan, including stronger cross-border coordination with Mexico, expanded surveillance, and active case control. Secretary Brooke Rollins highlights that recent detections in Nuevo León, 70 and 170 miles from Texas, were quickly contained and no active cases remain. China's soybean buying remains far weaker than Washington's expectations, despite political assurances made after last month's meeting between the two presidents of the U.S. and China, Trump and Xi. Retired USDA economist Dr. Fred Gell notes that China's Ministry of Commerce refused to confirm the White House's claim that Beijing would buy 12 million metric tons of U.S. soybeans before year-end, and 25 million tons annually over the next 3 years. Instead, the spokesman delivered a broad statement about cooperative trade, avoiding any mention of soybeans. It's a move mirrored across Chinese media outlets, repeating the non-answer without clarifying China's intent. Market behavior continues to contradict diplomatic language. China's imported nearly 96 million metric tons of soybeans so far this year, but only 16.8 from the U.S. Makes that promised 12 million metric ton surge before the year end increasingly implausible. Prices remain the most significant obstacle. U.S. soybeans still face a 13% tariff compared to 3% for Brazilian beans. And the delivered-to-port prices, which is the bean plus freight, shows Brazilian soybeans roughly $60 to $70 per ton cheaper than U.S. shipments. Well, low prices, disrupted trade, and paused policy support squeezing cash flow across crop country. That's according to Ag America Lending. Since 2018, production costs have been up more than 36%, while the Rural Main Street Index has slid to a five-year low. It signals both tighter credit and weaker countryside demand. Now, with USDA relief programs delayed during the shutdown, many grain operations have been navigating the year with thinner cushions and fewer safety valves. Corn has leaned strongly on Mexican buying to offset uneven ethanol margins and uncertainty around wider E15, and soybeans remain under pressure as China favors South American supplies. It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
So this is no way to run a country. I hope we can all agree that the government should never be shut down again. Again, end the filibuster, terminate the filibuster. It'll never happen again.
From the Oval Office Wednesday evening, President Trump reopening the federal government.
So with my signature, the federal government will now resume normal operations, and my administration and our partners in Congress will continue our work to lower the cost of living, restore public safety, grow our economy, and make America affordable again for all Americans. Again, costs are way down. Energy is way down. Gasoline is at $2.50 a gallon versus $4.70 for the Democrats. And we think we're going to hit pretty close to $2 a gallon. That's like a really massive tax cut. It's the equivalent of that. And speaking of tax cuts, our great, big, beautiful bill is giving everybody in our economy, middle income workers, low income, everybody, the biggest tax cut in the history of our country. And it's no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, and very importantly, no tax on overtime. You work overtime, there's no tax. That's among the things that add up to the biggest tax cut in history. One other thing, you know, you hear about rich people with deductions. Well, when you buy your car and you borrow money, you're allowed to now deduct the interest on that loan. So you can take that interest deduction and what you can take is that interest payment and deduct it for income tax purposes. That's a tremendous tax cut right there. But it all includes fixing the health care system that Democrats broke with the disaster known as Obamacare. Obamacare was a disaster from day one. It's done nothing but go up. And if you remember President Barack Hussein Obama, when he came up with this crazy idea, he said everything's going to be great. Rates are going to go down. Payments are going to go down. Everything's going to go down. It went the exact opposite, with the biggest increase of any of healthcare in any country. It's a disaster. And I'm calling today for insurance companies not to be paid, but for the money, this massive amount of money, to be paid directly to the people of our country so that they can buy their own healthcare, which will be far better and far less expensive than the disaster known as Obamacare. And I've had, I think, great support. I've even had Democrat support. So we want the money that would be going to the insurance company, which is hundreds of billions of dollars. You know, their stock prices have gone up by 1,000% in many cases, 1,000% over a short period of time, because our country stupidly pays them so much money with this Obamacare scandal. So I want the money to go directly to you, the people. And you go out and you buy your own health insurance and you'll negotiate different plans and you get much better insurance, and you will be an entrepreneur for yourself. So I'm always willing to work with anyone, including the other party. We'll work on something having to do with health care. We can do a lot better. We can do great. So much money is involved, and we're willing to pay so much money to the people. So we're going to pay a lot of money to the people. They're going to go out and buy their own health care, and we're going to forget this Obamacare madness. So with all of that, I just want to tell you the country has never been in better shape. We went through this short-term disaster with the Democrats because they thought it would be good politically. And it's an honor now to sign this incredible bill and get our country working again.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
The 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show is coming December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center. See nearly 500 exhibitors featuring the latest tractors, technology, and equipment. Attend CEU sessions with agriculture experts, network with fellow producers, and find great deals on seeds, feed, and fencing. Don't miss it. Mark your calendars for the 2025 Amarillo Farm and Ranch Show, December 2nd through 4th at the Amarillo Civic Center.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
If you look at a chart of inflation, that it's a time series that has quite a bit of momentum. And, my friend I used to work with at the Fed, Alan Greenspan, used to say that, like, dealing with inflation is like steering the Queen Mary.
Speaking recently in Washington, D.C. at the Economic Club, Dr. Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council.
They don't even have a Queen Mary anymore. I think they have a Queen Mary, too. Kind of dates poor Alan. But the fact is that that if you look at it, then what happened is that in the Biden administration, it got very high, averaged 5%, was still in the high threes when we came in. And now, like, if you look at the latest CPI, it surprised, 48 of Bloomberg's people who forecast these things on the downside. If you adjust for a refinery that shut down, then you're kind of looking in the 0.2 range. And so I think that inflation isn't all the way to where you want it to be, but that the momentum is pretty directional. And so I think that if you add to that the basic idea that the policies that we're pursuing right now are increasing supply, their supply-side policies, then you should expect that we could have growth like we're seeing without picking up Phillips curve effects in inflation.
And lost during this historic government shutdown is the fact that there's a looming federal rate decision.
Well, I first want to say that I have high regard for Jay Powell. I've known him for a long time, have had economic conversations with him many, many times during the last administration and this time, too. And, I think at times he and I have had policy disagreements, but that's like that's where it is. And I think that an example of a policy disagreement that Jay and I might have is that, I sort of agreed with the previous two meetings that it was right time to cut rates. Then after the last meeting, the sort of two things that happened that surprised me looking at the macroeconomy is that we had the shutdown that happened and then was longer than expected, which is a negative for GDP. And then we had an inflation report, which was much better than everybody expected, why 48 people at Bloomberg missed it on the high side. And so I'm thinking, if I'm sitting at the FOMC thinking about how that affects my decision at the next meeting, then I'd say I'm more likely to move. Because we got like two things that say, oh, well, the only news we have is more likely to move. And then Jay decided that the news between the two meetings made him less likely to move. And that's an example of a policy disagreement I have. And so I would guess that the fact that he came in signaling less likely to move makes the likelihood of them deciding to go 50 basis points lower.
Jerome Powell is chairman of the Federal Reserve. He'll be leaving that position soon, and Hassett is considered a front runner.
First of all, I have to say that I, as you know, feel like I'm the luckiest economist alive because I have the best job I think an economist could possibly have if you spent your life doing, economic policy, unless you're a monetary theorist. And so I think, when Ben Bernanke was chairman of the Council of Economic Advisers, he probably thought, oh, there's a better job for me out there, because Ben Bernanke was one of the leading monetary theorists and historians of all time. And so for me, I think that being director of the National Economic Council is my dream job. And if the president asks me to be Fed chair, then I'll do it. But if I'm not Fed chair, don't be disappointed for me, because I love the job that I have right now. And I'm so honored to be able to work with the president every day.
It's Agriculture Today.
At Wiley Implement and Spray Center, we are here to keep your Case IH tractors, planters, sprayers, and other implements in tip-top shape this season. Whether you need in-shop or in-field service, Wiley has the factory-trained technicians to keep your equipment running with genuine Case IH parts. Give us a call today or go to WileySprayers.com.
I'm Scott Wiley. We'll try hard to earn your business, but even harder to keep it. That's it. That's all.
This is Ben Scott, Scott Land Company in Dimmitt, Texas. We have literally at Scott Land Company sold thousands of acres of irrigated land, dry land, and CRP in Texas, New Mexico, Oklahoma, and Colorado. Look at our website, scottlandcompany.com. Give us a call at 800-933-9698. That'll get Ben Scott. We really need listings on all types of property.
This is Agriculture Today.
The trade deficit is definitely going down.
He's the director of the National Economic Council at the White House, Kevin Hassett.
The deficit, the fiscal deficit, is going down as well. And, you know, I just got a readout from people at OMB on this. And the deficit this year is down almost $400 billion from what it was last year. And extrapolating for the rest of the calendar year, then it could drop by about $600 billion in this year
alone.
You're
talking about the budget deficit.
The budget deficit. And then, but it's interesting, that $600 billion reduction in the budget deficit for the fiscal year, I mean, for the calendar year, is obscured by the fiscal year, because you might recall that President Biden's team was shoveling money out the window in the last quarter, of last year. And so the fiscal year numbers didn't look quite so good, but about 40% of the deficit it was in the first or the last Biden quarter. But in a calendar year, it's about a $600 billion a reduction in the deficit relative to 2024. And then the question is, where did the $600 billion reduction come from? And it's about one-third of tariff revenue, about one-third increased tax revenue, because growth is higher than we expected. We've got these two 4% growth quarters. And then the rest is spending reduction relative to last year.
But what about tariffs?
First of all, I think that if you're going to think about the logic of, our, you know, we have repeated over and over, you see any of us on TV, that we're confident that we're going to win the case. And the thing is that if you want to think about the logic of it, if we were in an economic seminar, we're kind of almost in an economic seminar, what we're using is emergency authority. And so the first thing you want to say is, well, is it an emergency? And it's an emergency, I can think of, for two reasons. One is fentanyl and the hundreds of thousands of deaths from fentanyl. And two is, my friend Angus Deaton wrote this book with his wife Ann Case about deaths of despair, about how the massive trade deficits that we've had because China's dumping stuff everywhere and wiping out towns and shutting down factories. You know, the deaths of despair, there's like a whole best-selling book by a Nobel Prize winner about that. And so I think the case that both the sustained trade deficit because China and other countries have a policy to create jobs in their own country by selling stuff as cheap as possible into the U.S., that I think that the emergency case is really, really solid. And so then the question is, when the law says that we have the authority to regulate trade, then does that mean tariffs, since it says regulate trade, but it doesn't say the word tariff? And I think that that's a pretty cut and dry case, too, because if you're going to regulate tariff, for example, this came up in the oral arguments, well, one thing you could do to regulate tariffs would be an embargo. And a tariff is less significant than an embargo. So if you can do an embargo, then surely you could do a tariff. But, or to make the economist argument that you could definitely do a quota, no one would challenge that. And if you did quotas, you could auction off the quotas. And if you auctioned off the quotas, it'd be mathematically the same as a tariff. And so I think that the case is really, really strong, logically. And so I think we're confident that we'll win the case. But I want to respond to your question now, which I sort of was, but I want to understand the Jameson Greer and the people at USTR and Howard Lutnick at Commerce and all the trade people at Commerce have been looking at our options should the Supreme Court ruling go the other way. And there are a lot of options on the table. There are a lot of alternative authorities for trade people here, 301s, 122s. There are a lot of things that we could do so that we could reproduce the policies that we have right now with alternative authorities.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
To reduce the debt, right, then you have to run a surplus.
Speaking at the Economic Club of D.C., Kevin Hassett, director of the National Economic Council.
And so the question is, do you reduce the debt relative to the target or not? And we clearly are doing that with the big reductions in the deficit right now. And so I think that those will continue. And I'm also extremely bullish about growth. We haven't talked about the growth outlook much, but let's talk about AI and growth when you're ready. But I'm very bullish about growth. And I think that that will help a lot. But it's not just growth that's doing it. It's the fact that we have tariff revenue and we've got a lot more spending restraint than was here in the past.
There's probably still a lot the administration wants to accomplish. Hasn't even been in office for a full year. So what's up?
For sure, we're going to be using future reconciliations to improve the American economy with better policy. We got a lot of the things we wanted done then, but there are a lot of other things to do. I could say that right now, for example, one of the things that we're spending a lot of time on is thinking about the state of housing in America and the fact that first-time home buyers have seen their age go up over the last 5 years from like 30 to 40. And so you've got to be 40 years old before you can buy your first house now because, mortgage rates went up so much over the last few years that the typical monthly payment about doubled. And nobody can buy a house, or it's much harder to buy a house, and it's hard for people to move if who want to move. And then, since we're the Economics Club, I could talk about this, that when you're stuck in a house because there's been a big swing in mortgage rates, then there's something we call the flypaper effect. It makes people sort of be stuck where the fly landed on the paper. And the flypaper effect is something, there's two authors, Blanche Flower and Oswald, that have a famous paper that when we have a flypaper effect like this, it can increase unemployment because people can't move to where the jobs are and so on. And so I think that one of the things that we've got a huge amount of our effort with, the Treasury and other corners of the government is thinking about what we can do at HUD. In fact, I was meeting with Scott Turner this morning on this to try to address housing policy.
When it comes to housing, however, the president has floated the idea of a 50-year mortgage.
I don't know if the president's decided that he wants to do that. I do know that we've been having meetings with principals in the White House to talk about what we can do about housing. And there's a whole list of possible things that haven't been fully vetted and haven't been decided on yet. Okay. And to put a 50-year mortgage, you could argue in favor of it, that it could, wouldn't necessarily, but could reduce the monthly payment, which would make it easier for people to get into a home. And then the flip side is that the equity that people would acquire over time would be spread out over a longer time period. And when I was last digging into the housing market, just doing my work at the Hoover Institute at Stanford, one of the things that sort of struck me was that the typical person moves their house like about every 7 years. And in a 30-year mortgage, you almost get no equity in the first 7 years because it's all interest up front. And so there is, you have to weigh all those things when you decide what to do.
Well, the concern about a 50-year mortgage by some people is that what it will do is maybe encourage more people to buy houses, inflating housing prices. Is that a worry that you have?
I think the too many people buying houses right now is not what the problem is. The problem is that the homeownership of people sort of 40 and under is at a historic low.
It's Agriculture Today.
Want to reduce your cottonseed cost up to 75% without sacrificing yield or quality? Try BSD9X from Brownfield Seed and Delenning. BSD9X is extremely versatile and is right at home on any acre. Large seeded, tremendous early season vigor, and yields at the top of university trials. For only $125 a bag, boost your bottom line with BSD9X from Brownfield Seed and Delenning. Call 806-637-6282 or visit brownfieldseed.com.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
I also want to thank the broad coalition of Americans that stood with us in this fight to reopen government, including the Teamsters, the American Federation of Government Employees, the Fraternal Order of Police, AMVETS, the National Small Business Association, the American Farm Bureau, the American Trucking Association. These are all incredible patriots. The Airlines for America, the Allied Pilots Association, the National Air Traffic Controllers Association, and many, many other unions and non-unions.
President Trump Wednesday evening from the Oval Office before reopening the federal government.
Over the past 7 weeks, the Democrats shut down has inflicted massive harm. They caused 20,000 flights to be canceled or delayed. They departed so many times, so late. People were hurt so badly. Nobody's ever seen anything like this one. This was a no-brainer. This was an easy extension. But they didn't want to do it the easy way. They had to do it the hard way. And they look very bad, the Democrats do. They deprived more than 1 million government workers from their paychecks and cut off food stamp benefits for millions and millions more Americans in need. They caused tens of thousands of federal contractors and small businesses to go unpaid, and the total effect of the damage their antics caused will take weeks and probably months to really calculate accurately, including the serious harm that they did to our economy and to people and to families. So I just want to tell the American people, you should not forget this. When we come up to midterms and other things, don't forget what they've done to our country. I also want to call for a termination to the filibuster so that this can never happen again. If we had the filibuster terminated, this would never happen again. And don't forget, we have another date coming up in the not-too-distant future. We can never let this happen again. And we should be able to pass great, really great legislation. So I say terminate the filibuster because, by the way, the Democrats will do it immediately if they ever assumed office, which hopefully they won't. Today we had the highest stock market price ever in all of the different markets. We set a record. It's the 48th time in the 9 months that I've been in office that we had this record set. So think of that, 48 times we had a record set, but today is the highest of them all. We're going to break new grounds. Nobody would have thought. I have with us not only the great political leaders, but the great business leaders of our country. They're standing right behind me and right really alongside of me. And if we would have told them a year ago that we'd be having stock prices this high, none of them. In fact, I just asked them that question. None of them would have believed it. And that inures to jobs and, very importantly, to 401ks, which have also set a record today, a record high for the people that have 401ks. And also, I want to thank Walmart because they came up with a fantastic study. It was the cost of Thanksgiving coming up and the cost of Thanksgiving from a year ago under Sleepy Joe Biden, and we're 25% lower this year than we were a year ago. And it's a very inclusive report. So I want to thank Walmart. They've done it for many years, but we believe in that. We believe in that company. I want to also thank the 8 Senate Democrats who finally did the right thing in voting to end this craziness, this madness. But unfortunately, the vast majority of congressional Democrats were happy for millions of Americans to suffer. They really did suffer, too. And the Democrats admitted. They said, well, no, we finally have a point. Even though people have to suffer, we finally have a point. And that didn't work out too well for them.
It's Agriculture Today.
This land, there's no more perfect place on earth. It provides more than the crop you grow or the herd you tend. It gives you purpose. And to help young, beginning, and small farmers fulfill their purpose, Capital Farm Credit is here for you. Our decades of experience providing advice, products, and opportunities can help you build a life on the land you love most. To learn more, visit CapitalFarmCredit.com. Capital Farm Credit. Together, we're better.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.